Well, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Peggy, Pastor Scott, I'm so grateful to be with you. I'm just grateful to be alive.
Come on, man.
Can I see your hands? It's hard to tell by your faces. I'm excited to be here. You know, I'm here because God brought two men together. That's why I'm here. In 1994, August, God brought, Doug in my life. Come up here, Doug. Sometimes people even say we look like brothers. And in 1994, God brought Doug in my life. It was like Paul had the thorn in his side. I got Doug in my side. And he has been one of my BFFs. There's been times where there has months, you know, I was thinking as I reflect, there's been times that we hadn't talked maybe 6 months at a time. And we talk more than that now lately, but when you pick up that phone and it's like, hey man, how you doing? It's like we never were apart. That's what you call friends. And I'm so grateful for this man of God in my life. He's got his lovely mother back there that forgot me, but I didn't forget her. Love you. Hey, well, you know, of course, Tom, Marilyn's got their anniversary, you know, and you know, I was just talking to Tom. He was telling me about this story. Tom was telling me, he said, Rod, did you hear about the guy that was found in Haiti on this little island? I said, no, Tom, I didn't hear about it. He said, yeah, Rod, this guy was found on the island. He was there shipwrecked for 3 years in a small island right off Haiti. It's Tom telling me. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, when they found the guy, they rescued him, and they noticed he had three huts there. And they said, hey, is there anybody else here? He said, no, it's just me. He said, well, what's up with the three huts? He said, well, this one's my house, this one's my church, and this other one's the other church I used to go to. Tom's can be full of it sometimes. Praise God. You know, it's so exciting to be in God's house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's nothing like God's house. There's no place in the world you can go. I've been all over the world. There's no place in the world you can go and find what you need except in God's house. God's house is a place where people come together and are strengthened. And I love this sanctuary every time. I get the privilege to be at a number of churches. I have never been in a church that has its own outdoor patio. I think, Peggy, if I lived here, I think, you know, Scott, I think if I lived in this area, I'd probably just knock out a wall and just live in this sanctuary. Look at this. You have such a beautiful sanctuary. And you, now I've been in a lot of places. I've been in every continent except Antarctica, and I don't want to go there. But I've been all over the world, and I've seen all kinds of people. But I have never seen people more beautiful than you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he was talking about me. Well, glory to God. I want to talk to you today about the spirit of mediocrity. It's a spirit. You know, when I first got saved, I was a drug addict. And I got saved when I was 27 years old. And I got saved, miraculously saved. It was It was powerful. My wife had asked me to go to a church. I had never cut my hair. I had hair back then. And it was about down to here. And all I ever owned in my entire life was blue jeans and Harley Davidson t-shirts. It's all I ever had. And it's all I ever wanted. And my wife, I came home. I was working offshore drilling rigs in the Gulf of Mexico. And my wife came home. And my children, first my son got saved, Jeremy. He got saved. And I'd come home. I'd work 2 weeks, come home. And I'd come home. And Jeremy, he'd say, "Daddy, you're going to hell." "Son, I'll whip your..." Why don't you talk to your dad like that? He always tell me, "You're going to hell." And then my other son got saved, Christopher. And then finally, one day, I was sitting there rolling some dope. I know that your closets never had dope in it. And I was rolling some weed, and my kids were there, I was just out of it. And my wife turned to me, or my kids said, "Daddy, I want to go to church." Yeah, I'm very liberal-minded. I said, "Gloria, take these kids to church." So that went on. As long as it didn't bother me, I kept living my life. And then one day I came home, and my wife said to me, "Why don't you come to church with me?" I was in church when I was 12 years old. I came to a VBS. Bus picked me up. I wasn't as thin as I am now. When I was a boy, I was very husky. And I remember going to church. A bus came and it was VBS, and I had holes in my knees, and I remember getting saved. I remember that nobody prayed with the fat kid. But I remember crying at 12 years old, knowing I needed a Savior. A year and a half or so later, my father died. A year and a half later, I was homeless. And I didn't know God. And I was mad at God. But when I was 27 years old, because I had a wife that loved me and believed in me. So finally, I went to church. My wife had been going to church about 6 months, and I smoked Lucky Strikes. I smoked 2 packs a day. Lucky was my brand. And I had a dog named Lucky that had 2 legs. But anyways... That's a whole nother story. And I stood outside the door and I was smoking my cigarette and I said, "Lord," my wife had already went in, "if you're real, you show me a sign." And I put that cigarette out. I had a California State Trooper motorcycle, highway patrolman, leather jacket. I love that jacket. Anyways, that's another story. But I walked in there and there was a young evangelist named Denny Duran. And I was sitting there and all the people at the church was looking at me, kind of like you're looking at me right now. "What's up with that guy?" "Yeah, that's that sinner's. Yeah, that's Gloria's. Yeah, he's a hellion." And he gets up and he jumps to his feet. And they're doing worship. And he said, "I just heard from God." This was in Jimmy Swaggart's church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Huge church back then. That was before Jimmy's temporary amnesia. And and so he goes, "I just heard from God. There's a man that's in here right now that said that if God is real, then God speaks to him. And he will serve him the rest of his life." And I stood at that door and I put that cigarette. I said, "If you're real, you speak to me. Nobody else." And all of a sudden, I sit next to my wife. Gloria is her name. She is the most beautiful woman in the world. Whew. Just her name. Oh, there's just something about that name. G-L-O-R-I-A. Sorry. I'm coming back. I was sitting next to Gloria. And I thought, oh, my God, what in the world is going on in here? This place is bugged. And I started to get up, and she reached for me, and she said, please, Rod, don't embarrass me. See, I was an embarrassing kind of man. I said, Gloria, let me go. I said, woman, I was called a woman. Woman, let me go. God's calling me. And I walked that aisle, man, and you talk about a mega church. He said, and Danny Duran said, if the man said that God said, if you'll come here right now, he will show you a sign. 27-year-old drug addict. I started walking, and I started seeing great big spots like I was tripping on mescaline, and you don't want to know about that story. I thought, what's going on here? Gloria's looking at me, and all the people started looking at me. And I walked that aisle. They come down there, and those boys got on me like white on rice. Charles Greenaway, one of the famous missionaries that helped pioneer Africa for the Assemblies of God. Dr. Miller. Those men got around me. And as I got to the front, I said, Jesus, here am I. And as those men got around me, all of a sudden, what in the world's going on here? I didn't know nothing about speaking in tongues. I didn't see somebody speak in tongues. I couldn't talk. And all I said is, Jesus, here am I. I didn't say some sinner's prayer. I said, here am I. Because see, Jesus knows our hearts, ladies and gentlemen. And from that moment on, I have never turned my back on the Lord. I quit smoking Lucky Strikes, and I quit smoking weed. It's been hard, though. I'm just being honest here. Listen to me today. There is a spirit that will try to get all on our lives. It's called the spirit of mediocrity, that we settle for where we are. God wants us to do extraordinary things in the earth. I looked up the definition of ordinary. Ordinary is a consequence of being average, not outstanding. A person who is second-rate, ability or value. Me and you have got to fight against that spirit. The longer we sit in these seats, in these pews, that spirit will try to infiltrate you. It will try to get you to sit still and not do anything in the kingdom of God. Don't look at your neighbor right now, just look at me. See, we've got to fight it. Personally, we've got to fight it. Relationship-wise, we've got to fight it. Our family, we've got to fight it. We can't just settle for where things are in relationships with our family. In our marriage, Valentine's Day, my wife is going to be joining me tomorrow. She's with my grandchildren today, and you know, she's flying first class. Baby, you're coming to Hawaii. I was in Hawaii just a while back. Sorry. You're coming to Florida, and you're flying first class. We're going to have Valentine's. That's all I'm going to say about that. And I'm so excited to be with her. But see, listen, I've got to fight for my marriage. I could have an average marriage. I could treat my wife averagely, or I could treat her beyond what she deserves. And see, me and you, we have to fight for our marriages. We have to have a marriage that when it's all over with, when I'm sucking my last breath of air, I was just with a dear friend of mine that just passed away, 89 years old. His wife died a year before him, and after she died, he was done. But when it's all over with, I want to hold my wife's hand or she's holding mine, and I don't want to say, I wish I was a better husband. No, baby, I did the very best I could, and I did. I didn't settle. See, Gloria is my life. She is my wife. She has given me 3 children that all love God, that are all in ministry. She's my everything. And you know what? I watch people in the body of Christ sometimes settle for a mediocrity marriage. And God wants us to move forward. Daniel 11:32. Daniel's speaking and he says this, "And they that know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." Turn to your husband and say, "Listen to this guy. He's on something here." See, God wants us not to settle for mediocrity. Thank you for that intelligent man in the back row there. He doesn't want us. He wants us to live a life beyond our dreams. I love this, and we all know it, John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." The thief is mediocrity. Me and you are ordinary people. In fact, we are peculiar people. Don't look at your neighbor right now, just look at me. But God said we are called to do extraordinary things in the earth. You are called to do great things in the kingdom. And everybody's got this thing of greatness and grandness. And, you know, I've ate with the President of the United States at a breakfast with about 4,000 other people. You know, one of my friends is a Secret Service agent in the White House. I got a personal tour of the White House a while back. I seen the President's dog. Oh my God, that's the President's dog. What is greatness? Greatness is loving God, loving your family, and serving others. That's the definition in my dictionary. And God's called us to do great things, to love Him, to serve others. Mediocrity is the thief of greatness. It will stop you from walking in your life. As Christians, me and you are called. There is no more limitations. My past has been washed in the blood. My future is glorious and bright. There's no more shackles. There's no more shame. I'm a child of a king. There's royal blood that flows through these veins. I'm a child of a king. And we cannot just settle as Christians. We just can't settle for everyday life. Yes, we're going to have everyday life, but everyday life, we can do extraordinary things. Kalakashekala. 80% of all Christians, they feel like they have not fulfilled their purpose. I know that's not true about this church. Turn to your neighbor and say, he ain't talking about me. What a shame to say, you know, because we're all going to give an account someday. We're all going to talk about, well, I shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know. Listen, there's no regrets when you live for the King. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the King. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus. He is our King. And He has a great call for us. See, what happens is there was this German theologian that said, no one will ever find you. Inside this room, there's untapped greatness. And it's like, I just did a funeral for a guy that, he was an American Airlines pilot. He just died, and his whole life, he died at 90 years old. The day he died, I was walking out of church, and I talked to him. He's in a wheelchair, and I said, "Hey, man, how are you doing? Great." And I said, "I love your family." "Yeah, my family's great." He said, "I want to go home." I said, "Excuse me, I want to go home." During worship, he died. How powerful is that? But he lived his life. And when we went to the funeral and was a part of it, the generations of people that were living for God because of this one man's life, it was beautiful. You know, me and you are God's gift to the earth. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm your gift. And I'm a gift to this church." See, Romans 12:6 says, "Each of us have received a different gift according to the grace given to us." Each of you in this room have a different gift. Every one of us. My armor won't fit you, and your armor won't fit me. Pastor Peggy, she's a pastor. I don't carry that armor. That's not who I am. Yes, I love people, but I'm not a pastor. Every one of us in this room have something to give to one another. You will never exhaust your potential for success by helping other people succeed. You know what? I oversee 200 missionaries throughout the world. And I meet with missionaries every week, or I'm someplace all the time. And you know, when they walk through my door, the first thing I say to them, "How can I serve you?" When we live a life of service, our greatness comes forth. Turn to your neighbor and say, "How can I serve you today?" See, me and you are not who we were. I'm not a drug addict kid anymore. This 27 that was abandoned. I'm not that man anymore. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold. Here, just take a look. Just a second. Just watch. There you go. Ta-da. I'm new. Today, I prayed the prayer that I've prayed for 28 years almost. No, 26 years. "Create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." I'm brand new today. Hear your neighbor say, "That brother's brand new." See, we're new. Forget about yesterday. Some people are holding on to the past so long. It's like driving down the road looking through the rearview mirror. You're going to get in a wreck. You got to look ahead. It's behind you. Whatever's going on is behind you. God's for you. Greater is he that's in you. I tell this all the time to people. I say, the Christ that dwells in me. Jesus living in there. I give him a lot of room, you can tell. I want the Spirit to have liberty. Christ in me greets the Christ that dwells in you. Come on. Jesus lives in you. You're a born-again believer. The Spirit of Christ dwells in you. You're a child of a king. T.L. Osborne, I had the privilege to be around him, and you know, he did mass crusades all over the world. One time he was at Rhema Bible Training Center. He got up and he said, "You know how those Rhema students are? They're a little different." And he goes, "You guys want to see Jesus?" And all those Rhema students, man, they're a little different. "Yeah, we want to see Jesus." "No, Do you really want to see Jesus? You know, T.L. was a powerful statesman. Spoke like 5 different languages, an unbelievable man of God. He said, yeah. And the students started yelling. Because, you know, they thought, man, Jesus is going to appear. You know, this is Brother Hagin's friend. Brother Hagin talks with Jesus all the time. You know. Now you really want to see Jesus? Yeah. He said, take a good look. Because this is the Jesus only some people will ever see. You're the Jesus only some people will ever see. You are. You are a love letter written in blood, read by all men. God wants us to do great things. We were bought with a price. Listen, life doesn't have a remote, ladies and gentlemen. My wife works our remote. She knows how to work the Apple TV, all of it. Hey, what's wrong with the TV? You know, she's the educated one in the family. Life doesn't have a remote, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to see change, you got to get up and change. And me and you must be constantly evolving. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are the ones that are constantly training, changing. Today, I became more like him than I was yesterday. Why? Because I was with him yesterday. And if I get amnesia, I'm coming back and I'm going to get with him today. Because when I'm with him, I become like him. As the old boy used to say, show me your friends, I'll show you who you are. My mother told me one time, she said, Ron, you run with the dogs, you're going to howl with the dogs. Bad company corrupts good morals. We are the light of the world. Me and you. Folks, look around. It don't get any better than this. We are God's light. We are God's light to a dark world that needs the light. Not to be confused with one of my favorite songs, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. See, we must let our light shine. We're not gonna hide it under a basket. See, there's 2 things change comes by. Number one, change before you have to, or change because you have to. We constantly as believers cannot settle. I want more of God today than I did yesterday. Is that a good thing? I want to love my wife more today than I did yesterday. I want to love my children more. I got a granddaughter. Her name is Gigi. Gloria Galilee is her name. Papa, I need a bitty baby. Okay. Whatever bitty baby is, you got it, Puck. Why? Because I love her. I love being with her. I love being with Jesus. And I want to be more like him. And Jesus didn't settle when the leopards, I was just in a leopard community. I'm doing some work in Ethiopia in a leopard community. And I went and I butchered some lambs and stuff. I didn't butcher them, That's just not my thing. I'm sorry. Just think about it. You know what I mean? Go ahead. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I can't, it's not my deal. And I'm serving these leopards. Jesus didn't just let these leopards. Matthew, 15:16. The disciples said, send them away. Lord, we can't take care of them. I love what Jesus said. He said, you do something for them. Man, I remember when I read that, it jumped off the page. Today, we feed over 3,500 families a week in my city. My son was just telling me, he said, Dad, we give about $50 a week in food to every family that comes. We deliver it. We have these trucks, and they go out to 37 neighborhoods to the projects. Where's that food come from? I have no idea. But it started, see, we've got to make change happen. You and I are an instrument of change. We are called not to just be said, you know, people are hungry. Doug was with me. Doug used to have Fairmont Terrace apartment complex, 61st and Peoria in Tulsa. Then he had a few others there off of 71st. He had some other apartments. And I remember walking with Doug, and we'd knock on doors. Hey, we want to take your boys and girls to church. We'll be here tomorrow. Doug had one time two buses. One of them he had full of just teenagers. Remember that, Doug? I remember that. And I remember one day these kids come to me and said, hey, Pastor Rod, we ain't got no food. Well, this is children's ministry, man. What does it look like? Food bank? Hey, honey, run to the store. Get these kids some food. See, interruptions. When God interrupts your life, he's causing you to say, make a change. Do something. Don't just settle. Well, those poor kids, man. That's a real bummer. Real bummer. No, me and you are the ones that God sent to the earth. We are on loan from heaven to hear to make a difference in the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, now that brother's talking to me. See, we're going to get knocked down. Life's going to happen. That's what happens with life. The Bible says a righteous man will fall 7 times, but arise again. A wicked man will fall, and calamity will come. Me and you have been called to be the light of the world. Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, is your light on? You know, don't be confused with that brother I was just with the other day. His light was on, but nobody was home. It's a whole nother story. See, most people don't lead their life. They accept their life. And I'm challenging you today in this beautiful church, this beautiful place. It's unbelievable. Sometimes you can get familiar to things. Oh, you know, that's just my wife. Man, what my life would be without my wife. Sometimes we can get just comfortable for what we have. God said, I placed you here. I was saying in the last service, this place is an embassy. I've been in many embassies around the world. One time I was almost stoned to death. Man, I was running. Guy with me lost 7 teeth. They almost killed us. It was terrible. I remember running to the embassy. This is an embassy. This is a representation. Just as an embassy in whatever country you're in, Ethiopia, Rwanda, I was just there. Wherever country you're in, they have a United States embassy if it's a large enough country. And that embassy is a representation of the United States of America. Now get this. This is revelation, man. This is a representation. It's a representative of the kingdom of heaven. Turn to your neighbor and say, Shakalaka. This is your church. You are God's gift to this community, this geographic area. This is a missionary place. I'm going to get funky now. It's coming, I can feel it. You are God's missionaries to your workplace, to your family, to your children, to your wife, to wherever you go, you're God's missionary. This is my favorite song. Be a missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus is the way. The Lord is soon returning. There is no time to waste. So be. Woo! Intelligent people. You are God's missionaries. You are. That's who you are. I remember crawling to the altar at 28 years old. This tooth is not real. I got it knocked out in a bar fight. That was before Jesus. And I remember I crawled to the altar. There was this great missionary. He said, "Who will be a missionary for God?" You're looking at an illiterate drug addict that shot dope ever since I was 16 years old. At 27 years old, I found the Savior. School couldn't teach me to read and write. Jesus taught me to read and write. I told it, and it's worth repeating. They called me into the classroom principal's office. Familiar place for me at that time. Walked in there and they said, "We've determined you have ADD. I said, "I do not. I did some LSD. And I have done PCP, but I'm willing to try ADD. I wanted to be a chemist when I was growing up, so I had to experiment. I was a lab rat. Glory to God. Yes. If any man be in Christ, yes, you're a new creature. Yes. God can take anybody and make him a somebody.
Yes.
And you are God's somebodies. Let us not settle for mediocrity. Man, I got this hang up. My parents did that. I was that. And I get all that. And I know that's hurtful. Believe me, I want to stop that pain from people. But I realized I have the victory.
Yes.
We can't just accept what life gives us. Most people let life lead them instead of us leading our lives. There's going to be challenges, ladies and gentlemen, but God is for you, and he is calling you to do some things. I love this: dream no small dreams, for they do not stir the hearts of men. Let's dream for a minute. See, there's two stories. And I've preached to 60, 80,000 people at a time in mass crusades from Liberia to Tanzania to Haiti, Central America. I've been all over. But there's two stories, ladies and gentlemen. The one story is the greatest story ever told. It's his story. The king came from heaven to earth to save a wretch like me. But the second greatest story ever told is your story. It's what the king did for you and how you received it. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who has called us. Jesus called you. There is no lack when you've been called by a king. Many years ago, there was a young boy that blew his brains out. And I was devastated. I was a youth minister, and I cleaned the room where he was. And I said, "I quit. I'm done. I can't do this." And I was driving. I was working in Bay City, Michigan. And I worked at the church, and then I worked drilling rigs. And I was driving there, and it was a land rig, and I was on Highway 410, and it was winter, it was February, and all of a sudden, I said, "Lord, I'm done, I quit, I tried it, it didn't work, I don't have what it takes." And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came into that car, And I was afraid to look the passenger seat because I knew God, the Spirit of God. I didn't know it was Jesus. I didn't know what was going on, but I knew. And all of a sudden, I started just praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, I heard only once, or really I can say that really definitively in my life, twice, I heard the voice of God. And it went like this. I am the commander of heaven's army. I call no one into battle without exactly what they need to win and have victory. I couldn't even see the road. My eyes were crying. I had to pull off the road. I was crying. So, listen, I'm telling you, when God called you, he's given you everything you need to have the victory. Sometimes we will face defeat, and defeat will come and look at us and say, you don't have what it takes. You know what every man needs to hear and every son needs to hear? Every one of them. You have what it takes, son. Every man needs to hear that. You have what it takes. Because most of the time, most of us have been beat down as kids or whatever we went through, and we don't say that enough. You have what it takes. Do you know, I'm 58 years old. Do you know, I have a personal coach. I have a man coach me. Not about preaching, but I want to add value to my life. I'm around some really, really wonderful people. But I always need other people to speak into my life. You'll never get too old for someone to come up to you and say, hey, you have what it takes. Way to go, man. Knocked it out of the park today, Tom. We need that as men. And you know what every woman needs? Write this down, man. It'll help you. Every woman needs to hear, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. It's two things. Besides Jesus Christ, second thing is every man needs to hear it and every woman needs to hear it. You're going to have a healthy relationship with children, with other people. You need to constantly be telling them. Because the devil tries to tell us all the time, you don't have what it takes. I talk about my education, about my past for one thing. For years, I never even mentioned it when I'd minister. You know, I want people to think I'm sophisticated. Come on. This is the house of God. We can have some fun.
Come on now.
You know, people are going to think I ain't got no... Then I thought, I'm going to shove it right in the devil's face.
Yeah.
I'm going to shove it right in the devil's face. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm bragging on God, not on Rod. Four things, and I'm almost done. We got 5 minutes. Help us, Jesus. Four keys to combat mediocrity. Number one, make Jesus the center of your life. My family, my son, my oldest son is the vice president of the power team. He breaks bricks and rips license plates in half and goes through walls of ice. He gets that from his mother's side of the family. My people know better. My other son has been in Haiti, the missionary, him and his wife. My other daughter and her husband are inner city. But when my family gets together, I'll go, hey, my grandchildren go, hey, hey. They'll start before even my children do. My grand, hey, hey, Papa wants us. And this is what they'll say. It's family time. Papa's got something to say. And that means the family comes together. Hey, listen. God's got something to say. The family comes to this house. He speaks through your pastor. He speaks to you. And you know what? when my grandchildren say it. How rewarding is that? I got something to say, and I tell all my grandchildren, all my children, all the time, make Jesus the center of your life. It's the most important thing when we have family. It's number one, read your Bible. There's so much wisdom. Listen, I'm around these guys that they want to success guys and all kinds of great guys, and they're great guys. They got a lot of, and man, they got it down. They can tell you this and how you can be a millionaire, and you know, and they got all, and that's great. But there's no greater wisdom in the world than right here. 66 books are here, full of the life. This is a living, breathing word. Make sure every day. I got my iPad. You know, I forgot my Bible. Unbelievable. In all the years I've traveled, I forgot my Bible. My Bible stinks. I've dropped it in the Bataan jungle. It smells. I was in first class a while back, and I opened it up. I was sitting next to this girl. She looked like she was a model or something. She goes, "Something stinks." I thought, I just showered. I might smell a little bit like Haiti, but I'm clean, you know? Don't you smell that? I said, "Oh, it's my Bible. My Bible. It smells like honey to me. It's my most valuable thing. I couldn't believe I didn't have it." I called my wife and said, "I love my Bible." So I borrowed this Bible from Doug, New Living Translation. Jesus likes New King James. It's good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. Get in the Word. Pray. Pray. I love praying. I lead prayer in the morning at my church, 6:30 every morning. I love being in prayer because God speaks to me. He wants to speak to you. Make sure you're faithful in church. This place is a feeding place. It's a sending place. The measure of a great church is not how many members they have. It's how many people they send. And you are called to go. Number two, don't settle. If anybody wants to change the world, everybody does. But nobody wants to change themselves. Let him who will move the world first move himself. Socrates said that, and they say he was a smart guy. If you're going to change the world, you're after going to change the way you think. And the only way you're going to change the way you think is by this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Proverbs 23:7. We are missing opportunities as the body of Christ because we have settled too long to live a life of mediocrity. Not because we're not become the gatekeepers that we used to be. Listen, darkness, we are in the roughest neighborhoods in my city. I've purposed every time. Hey, who is that neighborhood pastor there? When there's a killing who lives in that community? Why aren't we there if we're not? I want to minister. The darkest places in our city. Why? Because the authorities can only arrest darkness, ladies and gentlemen. The church is the only one that has the authority to dispel it.
Amen.
And I love this. Behold, I stand before, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the powers of the enemy. Luke 19:10. God has given us authority. Why do we settle for mediocrity? And we have to constantly train ourselves. Man, that was weird. Don't settle for it. Speak up. You heard it. I've heard it. The only way evil can triumph over good is when good people do Me and you are called to do something in the earth. We're not supposed to just sit down. Brother Hagin said, you know, it's like twiddling your thumbs. No, we're called to do something. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm called to do something. Number three, be a lifelong learner. The greatest secret for success is going through life as a man or a woman that is never used up. My latter years will be greater than my former. I will always study to show myself approved. I will constantly add value to me. Why? Because as I add value to myself, I add value to others and to the kingdom of God. Don't get to the place where you can't have somebody not speak into your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to listen to somebody. When we stop learning, we stop growing, we stop serving. Ooh, shaka laka. I felt the hair, right back of that hair, stood right up like that. All right, here we go. 1% is genius. 99% is perspiration. If we're going to do something, we're going to have to work at it. Change ain't going to come without a fight. But you got what it takes. You can make the change. I love this. Psalms 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Without relationships, ladies and gentlemen, there is no true learning. I love this book. It's called Understanding Poverty, Understanding the Framework of Poverty. Ruby Payne is a tremendous woman of God, understanding the work. She said, all true learning comes by relationships. We've got to be in relationship with other people. Any day that passes without personal growth is an opportunity for me and you missed if we don't add value to ourselves. Do you know the average American spends 6.5 hours watching TV? The world is educating us. And then there's nothing like good television program. But man, there's nothing like spending, getting a good book. There's a great book. It's called Ordinary, How to Turn the World Upside Down. Just read it. Powerful book. I have a book with me wherever I go. I average 2 to 3 books a week. You know, not real big books, but come on, I know I look like a genius. Come on. Laughter is like a medicine. So add value to yourself. The last thing, work hard. Whatever we do, do it unto the Lord. Revelations 3:8, the Lord says, I know your works. Doug, is that your beautiful daughter back there? Oh, my goodness. She is so beautiful. What a godly looking young girl. I hadn't seen her in so long. She just snuck back in here. See, I'm very observant. Last scripture, and then I'm going to pray over you. Psalms 92:14. And they shall bear fruit in their old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. Ladies and gentlemen, you are God's best. You are sent to be a missionary to your city, your community, to a world. Don't settle. Don't hide in a seat. Don't just sit there and not do something for your king. Wherever I go, I was in the elevator yesterday at the airport, and the guy was packed full, and there's this woman and her baby, and She's, you know, a stroller, and there was room. And the doors were closed, and she's trying to get in. I said, "Hey! Come on. Come on, ma'am. This elevator is like the cross. There's always room." Everybody going, "Yeah, Jesus loves everybody in this elevator." Illustrated sermon. You are his missionary. Don't settle. Could have let that door shut. Young mother struggling. We are called servants of the Most High God. Yes, we are sons and daughters, but we are servants. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? Brother's just going forever. He was like Pharaoh. He's never going to let God's people go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the privilege to speak into your people, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, shepherds, but most of all, they're servants of you. Lord, thank you that they are your sons and daughters. And Lord, thank you that you move by your Holy Spirit in each and everyone's lives. Use them to tell the story of what you've done for them. Tell your story, but Lord, share their story. How their life was lost and undone without you. But you came and you gave them life, and life more abundantly. I pray for everyone here today. And you know, I won't embarrass you. I won't do that. That's not my thing. But just by raising your hand, if I want to just pray over you right where you're at. If you've been struggling and just settled, it's something we got to fight for against all the time. Mediocrity in your life, in your marriage, your kids, your job. God wants you to dream again. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told his brothers. They didn't like it. But his dream came true. Today, it's time for you to dream. And you'd say, "I've settled for mediocrity in my life. And I want to do more for God. And I want God's Holy Spirit to help me." Just lift up your hand real quick. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lift it up high. Because when you lift up your hand, you lift your heart. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. Let's say this together. All of us, let's say this together. Lord, I'm yours. I give you my life. Everything I have is yours. And you gave everything to me. So help me, Holy Spirit, to walk in a greater authority of your love, your wisdom, and your word. I am your missionary. And I will speak, and I will tell of the wonderful things you've done. Stir up the gift of God in me. Use me. Bring me a fresh vision. Holy Spirit, tell me the things the Father has for me. Help me to live my life to the fullest. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Peggy. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.